pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Still to come, Sean Ross from SR Communications, formerly of Yellowhammer News. He'll be with us. Hour number three well underway now. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, candidate for state auditor, represents the folks up in the Shoals area, parts of downtown Florence, and I think just south of the Tennessee River there, in that legislative district, State Representative Andrew Cyril on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing really well. Sure do appreciate you getting me on.
Hey, thanks for taking time. I want to get you on, just I guess for the sake of a discussion here. You got a new opponent. Well, first off, before we get into any of that, how is the campaign going?
I feel like it's going really well. We've done 10,000 palm cards already. I've personally handed out 5,000 of those. I know we've knocked on about 1,500 doors. I just really feel the momentum building. Fundraising is going well. I'm excited for my July fundraising report to come out. I think it's going to surprise some people with that I've been able to raise a pretty good amount of money, I think. So, yeah, I feel like the campaign is going well. I'm really enjoying being on the campaign trail. This is my fifth week on the campaign trail and already gotten all over Alabama, probably already visited nearly half the Alabama counties. And those that I haven't, looking forward to getting to soon.
I mean, these statewide campaigns, they could be tough. It's a you know, we're a long way until May 2022 when people go to vote. But it is, I guess you're finding there's a lot to the state that I guess you know, people when they run, and I've seen this time and time again, when they run for statewide office, it's an education somewhat to learn more about Alabama.
I'm learning so much about different cities in Alabama and where they're at. And you just pass things on the road and you think, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I didn't know it was right here. And now I know where it is. So going to little places like Ashland, Alabama, and Lincoln, Alabama, places like that that never been to in my life before, but now I have. I have some friends there because I went to campaign there. So it's been a really good education for me. And I love the campaign. I'm not one of those politicians who dreads campaign season. I actually like it. I enjoy getting out and talking to people. It's hard. I mean, I'm on the road, you know, pretty much every day. Not today or tomorrow. I've got a big fundraiser up here in Muscle Shoals tomorrow, kind of launching my campaign, doing a fundraiser here. But, you know, typically I'm on the road at least several nights a week.
What are you hearing? You know, some people may think of the state auditor's position as an obscure office. And I guess, relatively speaking, compared to governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general and so forth, it probably is. But when you approach people and you're introducing yourself, they do want to discuss topics. Well, what are you hearing?
I think the number one question I get is, what does the state auditor do? And I'm happy to explain it to people because a lot of people don't know. And to be quite honest, until about 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't have a real great understanding of what the state auditor office was. There was a bill introduced in the legislature to eliminate the state auditor's office. And that's what really made me first go analyze the position, study it, see what it does, went and talked to the current state auditor, learned a lot about it, and really got interested in the position. It's a very valuable position. For less than $1 million a year budget in Alabama, we have an office that audits $1.7 billion worth of taxpayer property. That's every pickup truck, iPhone, iPad, you know, truck, computer, everything. Everything worth $500 or more is tracked by the state auditor's office. And it's 176 different state boards and agencies. It's a pretty big job keeping track of all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of our stuff goes missing. I say missing, it's probably being stolen. I've looked at some of the loss reports, and it'll say, you know, $1,200 computer not returned when employee fired. Well, you know, I call that theft. You know, we need to get our stuff back. So anyway, I think that once people understand the office and they understand what it does, they're a lot more interested in it. And yeah, they're happy to kind of vote for me after I explain it to them.
Now, as we mentioned a little bit, you got a new opponent. Former State Senator Rusty Glover is running in the race. I'm sure you would prefer that not to be the case, but just your immediate reaction.
You know, if you're going to have an opponent, at least have it be a good guy like Rusty Glover. I really like Rusty. I think he had a conservative voting record when he was in the State Senate. We've been friends for years. So I got a lot of respect for him. Certainly think he's a very credible opponent. And, you know, it's just motivating me. I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to be, going to have to get my message out there. It's try to outperform not only him, but all of my opponents in every aspect of the campaign that I can. So, yeah, the race is going to be, it's going to be a crowded field, Jeff. I mean, there's already several candidates announced for this race. And I think with the governor, the lieutenant governor, attorney general, all running for reelection, you know, there's a lot more interest in races like secretary of state and auditor that are open seats.
Well, I tell you what's interesting to me about this. You don't have a lot of the big spenders, the typical big spenders in Alabama politics getting involved in this race. So you don't have a circumstance where the big mules and the planters or whatever you want to call them, the elites of Alabama politics are just going to fundraise for their chosen candidate and close out the field and make it impossible to compete. But this to me is more of a meritocracy. The candidate with the best ideas, the one that works the hardest, the one that that gets around the state, pounds the most shoe leather, that you'll still obviously want to raise money and be up on television. But in a traditional sense, it's more of a campaign. At the end of the day, the best campaign will prevail.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that. I was talking to my wife yesterday. And I said, look, you know, if I can talk to a voter for 10 minutes, I usually can get their vote. And I said, if only I could spend 10 minutes talking to every voter in Alabama, you know, I could win this race. But you can't. No matter how hard you work, you can't talk to every voter in Alabama. And that's a real frustration to me, because when I ran for state house, I did talk to every voter. I spent a year of my life campaigning in House District 3, flipping a seat that had been Democrat for 140 years. It was said to be an unwinnable seat for a Republican. But I found a way to win that seat. And the way that I found was, you know, I would go knock on a door, and if it took me an hour talking there, you know, visiting with grandma on the front porch to get her vote, man, I spent the hour with her. And it's so frustrating that you can't do that statewide, because there's just not enough time to talk to everyone. So you have to get your message out on social media. You've got to try to get on, you know, TV and radio, which, as you mentioned, is tough because there's not a lot of money coming into the auditor's race, especially not like Montgomery PAC money. So it's a different kind of campaign. It is a challenge, and I agree. Who's got the best grassroots network? That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, I posed this question to Senator Glover yesterday. I'll pose it to you. My experience in these statewide races, looking around, every corner of the state sort of has its own personality, its own characteristic. And, you know, even in a Republican primary, and it's not necessarily that you need to craft your message to each of those, but, do you find much variation in your approach to when you are, or do you think it's this, that if you have the right conservative message and you hit the right notes, that it won't matter if you're in the Wiregrass or in the Shoals, that should appeal to each of those individual, electorates?
There are some differences. So when you're campaigning in either North Alabama or South Alabama, both of those places feel disconnected from Montgomery because they're so far from Montgomery. They feel forgotten about. They feel left out. And being from Muscle Shoals, I understand exactly what that feels like. It's 3 hours to me from Montgomery, and that's if there's no traffic jam in Birmingham. So I get it. You know, I drive 200 miles to go to Montgomery to go to session. So, you know, those type of issues come up. And then, you know, of course, when I'm campaigning in Huntsville, I mentioned, hey, I own two businesses in Huntsville. And if I'm campaigning in Decatur, I say, hey, I go to church right here on the Beltline in Decatur. So, you know, you try to connect yourself to those communities as best that you can. And so, but overall, are the issues any different? I mean, not too much. I mean, everyone wants, you know, fair and free elections. You know, I know that people are not aware that the auditor actually appoints registrars. And those are the people responsible on the ground floor, making sure that our voter rolls are kept clean. Very, very important. Who'd have thought the auditor was important in the election process in Alabama? So everyone cares about that, regardless of where they're from in Alabama. So I'd say sometimes it's different, and sometimes it's the same.
Well, you raise an interesting point, the bookends of the state. And, typically, and we saw this, the best examples I could offer are this, the bookends of the state. Bradley Byrne practically lives in North Alabama that last election cycle, trying to raise that name ID, trying to become a better known commodity, and it just still doesn't do that well, but dominates his home turf. He won every county, Conecuh County South. Mo Brooks, last time he ran statewide, it probably will be, I think, a little different this next time around, but you know, he when he has ran in the past, he does really well in Morgan, Limestone, and Madison counties. But you know, south of the Tennessee River, just not drawing that well. Overcoming that, getting to the Wiregrass, getting to our part of the state here, this listening audience. What do you, you know, how you obviously, I don't know that you could set up camp here and hope that that will help you win the day, but what can you do, or what do you think you should do?
Well, I hope that people understand that, you know, really it's human nature to vote for who lives near you. I mean, right. Everyone's kind of guilty of that. They're like, oh yeah, he lives in the next county over. I guess I should vote for him, as if that makes that individual a better candidate. That's really not the way that we should be voting. We really ought to vote based on who's the best candidate for the race. And I'll tell you this, to the folks down in Mobile, the last two elections for state auditor, I supported the candidate from Mobile because I thought he was the best person for the race. So I try to practice what I preach. So research the candidates, research their platform, their qualifications, and make your decision based on that and not based on where they live. I hope that even, you know, if the counties in North Alabama vote for me, I hope that it's not because they live close to me. I hope it's because they think I'm going to do a good job for the office.
And this isn't necessarily related to this election, but maybe more as your role of as a state legislator, and the complaint about the, you know, some places, not if you're not in that Birmingham to Montgomery or now lately Huntsville corridor, that you're just an afterthought in state politics. That I feel like you guys probably experience it maybe even more to a degree than we do here in Mobile and Baldwin counties, but you're often overlooked, and particularly there, a somewhat younger delegation in some ways, that makes it a little more difficult to get things done. But that the geography of the state, the tribalism of the state, what do you, I mean, is it just a matter of getting more seniority, or what do you do to really push your constituents' needs to the forefront?
Well, first of all, we have seen some statewide candidates from small areas outside of that corridor you're talking about, outside of that, you know, the Huntsville, the Mobiles, the Birminghams. You know, Rick Pate's a great example, is our ag commissioner from a very, very small town in rural Alabama. Right. Well, guess what? He's our next ag commissioner. So, you know, Rick Pate has proven that you can be from a small community like I am and still win a statewide office. So I think that's really good. That's really encouraging for me. But, you know, as far as, you know, getting things done in Montgomery and being a freshman, I mean, I think that as a freshman, I think I've been very effective. I've moved constitutional carry out of committee for the first time ever in the Alabama House. 2 years ago, my fellow legislators, some of them were kind of chuckling when I introduced the bill, said that bill will never move. We've already seen that for 10 years. But you know what? I got it moving. And I think next year you're going to see it on the floor. And I highly doubt that Republicans are going to vote no on a gun bill in an election year. So I think if the bill hits the floor, I think it'll pass. Got civil asset forfeiture reform done this year, along with Senator Orr. You know, I was elected as chairman of the Trump delegation last year. I got to be the one to cast Alabama's 50 delegates for Trump at the RNC last August. So I feel like even as a freshman, I've been able to be a really effective legislator.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll get you out of here on this. This is something former State Senator Phil Williams and I were discussing. Typically in these election years, this fourth year of a quadrennium, the tradition is you take the path of least resistance. Nothing big gets done. You pass the budgets and you go home and campaign, which I think if you know, the voters are maybe underserved for that reason, that it ought to be the other way around, that the free shots, the layups, you know, things like school choice or whatever your hot button conservative issue, they ought to be at the forefront, but they're not. That we, you know, does that seem upside down to you, but you know, we just accept it for what it is?
Look, I'm a new guy in Montgomery, and maybe I haven't been drinking the water there long enough to understand all the logic that goes on or something, but you're exactly right. They've got it completely backwards. The best year to pass a strong gun bill is the election year.
Right. Well,
like, all the Republicans are running in a primary. Of course we all want a good gun vote on our record. How about school choice? Yeah, another good one. You know, how about the transgender bill that we didn't get done last year that died on the last day of session because we were never able to address it? You know, the minor sex change operation bill. That bill needs to be done. Next year is the perfect year to do that. So I don't understand why year four isn't the strongest year. I would say one and four should be the strongest one. You got, you know, year one, you got all the new people coming in. They want to fulfill their campaign promises, get a lot of stuff done. Year four is an election year. That's the best year to pass good conservative legislation in my mind. But like I said, maybe I just haven't been in Montgomery long enough to be indoctrinated to their way of thinking. I don't know.
It's an interesting discussion. But, hey, Andrew, folks want to find out more about your campaign, check it out. Tell where to look.
Well, there's two ways. AndrewSorrell.com, and we spell that S-O-R-R-E-L-L. And same thing on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for State Auditor. Find me on Facebook. Already got about 7,000 people following my page, and I appreciate that. Hope that your listeners will add to that list.
Representative, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you. That was State Representative Andrew Sorrell running for State Auditor. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.